Hello and welcome to Laying the Points, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by MyBookie. I'm Anthony Amico. You can find me on Twitter at Amixta. And my co-host is Action Network writer Matt LaMarca. You can follow on Twitter at Matt LaMarca. Matt, how's it going?
Going pretty well. Nice start to the tournament if you like upsets and you like Cinderella stories. So personally, I was rooting very hard for 16 seed UMBC. They play in the same conference as my alma mater, Stony Brook. Also your alma mater, even though, you know, I'm much more proud of that than you are, I think. But yeah, watching a team that Stony Brook beat this year knock off the number one team in the country was pretty fun.
Yeah, I want to set the record straight. I love my school. I love Stony Brook, but you are definitely a bigger fan of the sports. It was actually really funny listening to like some other podcasts or people talking about UMBC, and I think it was Simmons who was like, "Oh, like people are saying like, oh, UMBC ran out of gas." It's like, or they're just the same team that lost by 20 to Albany this year. Like
they were down by like 50 to Albany. Yeah, like yeah, it's crazy.
Before we get into the show, I just want to remind everyone you can get a listener's only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass by subscribing to the podcast homepage at rotoviz.com/podcast. It was a crazy weekend, like we were saying, with March Madness. I think it's probably one of the crazier tournaments that I can remember. But we did make a little bit of money, or at least you did. Loyola Chicago, you rode them a little bit. I tilted off some money again on Michigan State and Carolina. So in the bankroll challenge, Matt, you have a commanding lead. You're up $90. I am down $16.20. But it's a long tournament and it's a long year, so I will make a push. I will make a push at some point. I'm hunting for deep odd wagers that I can make a big comeback in.
Yeah, you're also practicing much better bankroll management than I am. I'm just out here firing off 50% of my roll. But yeah, it worked. I mean, definitely got lucky with that Loyola bet in the first round because we both had them on the money line. So that would have been, you know, a pretty dumb feeling if they lose by one. They were 1.5 point dogs, but we took them on the money line and cost ourselves a bet. So anyway, they ended up sinking it, so none of that mattered. And yeah, I like them again against Tennessee. I was a little surprised you didn't jump back on board with me, but they that bracket, I mean, the whole thing is crazy. Like if you just bet underdogs in this tournament, and especially if you just bet the money line, you're probably cleaning up right now.
Oh, you have to be crushing. Like assuming you make like similar unit bets every time, like you'd be smashing with the money line because it's like every round there's been one or two like major upsets. But yeah, I don't know. Like I shot away from Loyola in round two because I'm always worried about like the big upset hangover. And I was proven wrong. So we are going to talk National League Central. We still have to wrap up our Major League Baseball preview. We'll get into some overall baseball wagers. Matt, is there anything other than Loyola Chicago that you're maybe looking at for the Sweet 16?
Yeah. So first, I'm just going to rant a little bit about my bracket. Like, I honestly, I don't want to come on here and just brag because nobody wants to listen to that guy, but I crushed the first two rounds of the tournament. I'm like sitting in the 99th percentile, maybe even the 100th percentile at this point on ESPN. I had the huge Buffalo upset, the Marshall upset, and I had Loyola in the second round and Florida State over Xavier. So, like, I've had a lot of the big upsets in this tournament, and I would be sitting so pretty right now if not for Cincinnati somehow blowing a 22-point lead with 11 minutes left to go in the game. So, like, it's been, you know, a few days since that happened, and I'm still sitting here, like, scratching my head. Like, how does the best defensive team in the country, or the second best defensive team in the country, blow a 22-point lead with 11 minutes left? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm, like, hurt about it, and I would be doing so good right now, but instead my national champion is gone, and I'm just going to have to live with it, and we'll try again next year, you know?
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. I think that, well, obviously, I had like this nice parlay going. I'll smash the money line on Cincy. I'll get it in on Michigan State. Those are two favorites I really like. And then I'll get in Florida State because I think that they're a good bet also. And of course, like the two teams that I expected to win both lost. One is the aforementioned, blown lead. And also, like, how do you, if you're Michigan State, and this is sour grapes 100%, but Al Smith has made this comment on Twitter and I totally agreed. Like, if you're Michigan State, like, you have two NBA players on your roster. One of them is going to be like a top five pick and you can't play against the 2-3 zone. Like, like, how does that happen?
I mean, there's just something about that Syracuse 2-3 zone. It's just magical. And once again, more proof that the first four, last four thing, like one of those teams always overperforms. So just something to remember for next year. Like normally it's wise to have them winning at least one matchup, if not two. I think I've had Syracuse in a couple brackets. I had St. Mary's in another, but I'm sorry, St. Bonaventure. St. Mary's did not make the tournament, even though they probably should have been in over Syracuse, but that's another story. So, yeah, like those, even though they're one of the last four teams to sneak in, it's really not that surprising to see Syracuse go on a run.
Yeah, I mean, you have the legendary coach. That'll definitely happen. We do have some baseball that we're going to talk about today. We have NL Central. We have some overarching MLB bets to get to. So let's talk NL Central first, and we'll start, of course, with your Central champ last year, the Chicago Cubs. 2017 record was 92-70. They had a 101 WRC plus that ranked eighth, a 4.09 Sierra that also ranked eighth. They lost a bunch of guys this offseason. They lost their closer, Wade Davis. They also lost another reliever, Hector Rondon. Jake Arrieta, starting pitcher, signed with Philly, and John Lackey is still currently a free agent. Now, this is all courtesy of Bleacher Report. Their key additions are relievers Brandon Morrow and Steve Chizik, and they added starters Yu Darvish, Drew Smyly, and Tyler Chatwood. Division odds are minus 220. This is all, of course, from our presenting sponsor, MyBookie. Pennant odds are plus 330. World Series odds plus 750. And their win total is 93. Matt, what do you think of the Cubs?
Yep. So it's kind of boring, these baseball previews we do, because I feel like there's been one team in basically each division that is like just the hands down favorite. It's almost impossible to pick against them. And that's what the Cubs are here. I mean, they're just so much more talented than the rest of these teams, probably the best pitching staff and the best lineup. And their numbers from last season reflect that. I do think that the pitching staff, it's a little volatile in my opinion. I mean, Yu Darvish, Drew Smyly, these are guys who have shown to be, you know, quality big leaguers at times, and Darvish obviously has proven to be an ace at certain points, but neither of them was particularly impressive last year. And they're going to have to replace two guys in John Lackey and Jake Arrieta, who, you know, while they weren't spectacular, they were out there giving you innings, you know, basically every single time their name was called. So I do think that that's sort of the question mark on this team. They should hit with the best of them, you know, like they may not be the Yankees, but they're right there behind, you know, Anthony Rizzo, super, super underrated player. He's starting to probably get the respect he deserves, but one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. Obviously, Chris Bryant, you know, he was the NL MVP and the World Series MVP 2 years ago. Still have a guy like Kyle Schwarber, who knows what he's going to give you, but profiles as, you know, a 40 homer type of guy if he gets the at bats. And then just all through the lineup, they have a whole bunch of solid hitters. So yeah, I think that the lineup every day is going to be super impressive. They also have, you know, an elite manager in Joe Maddon, who is going to get the guys in the correct spots. He's one of the most aggressive shifters. He had no problem putting Chris Bryant in the outfield last year. If they felt that, you know, they wanted a stronger defensive infield, they would move Javier Baez and Ben Zobrist both into the infield, and he would sort of move Bryant outside. So it's a really good team. I don't think there's any surprise in saying that they're the best team in the division, and they honestly might be my pick to represent the National League this year.
Yeah, obviously a lot of really good things said there. They lost Arrieta, which you mentioned. I don't really think, you know, Lackey, I guess, was up and down too, but he was obviously really good. They still have so much depth. I mean, Lester, Darvish, Quintana, Hendricks, Chatwood, Smyly, Eddie Butler. Like they still go like seven deep in the rotation. So I think not Lester, sorry. So they are Lester. Lester and Lackey, I always get confused. So they're still seven deep there. Like they still have a lot of depth. I think that, you know, Chatwood is someone that, you know, getting away from the Rockies and getting out of that stadium, I think is going to help him a lot. He's always been a pretty decent pitcher on the road. So now, you know, pitching for the Cubs, obviously, Wrigley isn't always the friendliest over the summer, but I think that he at least has some experience in those kinds of conditions. You know, and if Smiley does get back to like what he was doing a couple years ago, where he had like a 28% K rate, he's going to be really tough, and I feel like they're not going to really miss a beat. Like you said, the offense is really good. There's not really like an easy out in the lineup. So I agree. What do you think of the 93 win total?
Yeah, it's we've talked about this with other teams. Like you don't like taking these high totals on the over, but I think if I were to bet this one, it would be on the over. You know, they won 92 games last year. I think that on paper, this team is better. And I think that they honestly underperformed a little bit last year as well. So I think that this team might be closer to like 95 wins.
Yeah, I agree. The Cubs, you know, definitely slumped for a really big stretch last year. You know, and anytime you have the depth that they have along with the offense, I feel like it's really tough to say you can't win at least 90. And the line's a little lower than some of these other teams. I mean, we've been looking at like Yankees, Indians, like Dodgers. These teams have had win totals in like the mid to upper 90s, Cubs low 90s. I think we can take the over there.
One last thing. Have you seen that John Lester is apparently going to be bouncing his throws to first base this year?
No. Is there a reason for that? That doesn't seem to make sense.
He is like awful at throwing to bases. It's part of the reason why like base runners have had tremendous success against him. Right. And, you know, rostering guys who steal bases against Lackey Lester and DFS is like a thing. So in order to get him to kind of get over his yips, they have been working on him throwing a bouncing ball to first base instead of trying to air it out all the way there. It's like unbelievable that these guys can throw the ball, you know, 90 plus miles an hour and put it on a dime. But when it comes to throwing a lollipop over to first, so many of these pitchers can't do it. It makes no sense.
Yeah, that really is crazy. And I feel like the bounce, I mean, I guess you'd still throw it kind of hard. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's slow enough where maybe, like, the guy just goes. You know, if it's like a Billy Hamilton or someone, maybe he just says, screw it. You know?
It's going to be interesting to see one way or the other.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's get into the Milwaukee Brewers. They were 86 and 76 last year. 93 WRC plus, that ranked 20th. 4.27 Sierra, that ranked 13th. They lost reliever Jared Hughes in the offseason, but they added outfielders Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. They also added starters Yolis Chacin and Giovanni Gallardo. Their division odds are plus 300. Pennant odds are plus 800. World Series odds plus 1600, and their win total is 84. What do you think of the Brew Crew, Matt?
All comes down to the pitching for the Brewers. You know, their offense should hit. They have a bunch of really intriguing players, although they upgraded in the outfield, and I'm not sure that they really needed to. Like, I really liked guys like Keon Broxton and Domingo Santana, and I'm sure they'll still get some playing time. But, you know, I think that the pitching staff was much more the area of need, and they kind of were just like, well, let's just double down on the offense. So anyway, they're relying on, you know, really a whole bunch of nobodies. Jimmy Nelson, Zach Davies, probably their two most, you know, accomplished starters at this point, and that's pretty concerning. So it's really going to come down to how many balls this team can hit out of the yard, and it should be a bunch with the way that they're constructed, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to overcome this pitching staff.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I know when they made those moves for the outfielders, you know, fantasy baseball Twitter isn't huge, but there was definitely outcry about Domingo Santana. The people were not happy. But yeah, I mean, Jimmy Nelson kind of took like a pretty big leap last year. His K rate jumped basically 10% from 17.4 to 27.3 last year. I have no idea if that's sustainable. Like, I mean, his career numbers, he's really never crossed 20. So we'll see if he comes back to the pack. If he stays, you know, at that elite level, then maybe they do have kind of like a secret frontline guy The rest of his peripheral numbers, honestly, are pretty good. Like, it's not, it doesn't look like he got particularly lucky. So if he, you know, if he can sustain the strikeouts, even if he, the guy meets it in the middle and he's at like a, you know, 24% carry rate or something, like he's still probably going to be good enough to be like a good number one, but the rest of it is just an absolute mess. Like, I feel like last year you stacked against the Brewers like 4 out of the 5 days of the week.
I do agree with that, but he's hurt at the moment, and it sounds like he might not even be back until the All-Star break. So they're going to be down him for at least the first few months of the season.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, we don't want that. unless we get Yovani Gallardo of like a decade ago, that's not.
Get him in the time machine.
Yeah. Got to put him in the cologne machine. He's got to hit up Bartolo, figure out what to do. So the 84 game win total, you know, pretty close to 500, pretty close to what they did last year. What do you make of that?
Yeah, this is another one that's close for me. I'm going to go under, though.
Yeah, I'm going to join you. We agree a lot on these things. I guess that makes sense. There's only two options, but yeah, I mean, I feel like Thames overall, I'd be surprised if he hit as well as he did last year.
He was a tale of two halves too. His first half, and really just his first month, was outstanding. And by the second half of the year, he was like abysmal to the point where he wasn't even playing every day. So
right, and I feel like those second half splits are a lot more predictive than the first half ones, at least at least in particular statistics. But yeah, I mean, there's a reason that this guy was like overseas and not playing in MLB.
100%. Yeah,
I feel like that's a thing. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I think under is the play here. St. Louis Cardinals last year, 83-79, 100 WRC plus, that ranked 10th, 4.13 Sierra, that ranked 9th. They lost starter Juan Nicasio this offseason. They also lost reliever Zach Duke and shortstop Alemis Diaz. They added outfielder Marcell Ozuna, starting pitcher Miles Mikolas, and reliever Luke Gregerson. Their division odds are plus 300. Pennant odds plus 800. World Series odds plus 1600. So all the same as the Brewers, but they have a higher win total, 85.5. Matt, what do you think of the Cards?
Yeah, it's interesting. Paul LaDuca, former Mets catcher. That's part of the reason why I'm so excited to say that I work with him now. But former just all-star catcher in general, Paul LaDuca, he's working over at the Action Network now. He had the Cards as one of his best bets this year. He had them going under. But I kind of like the over on this team. I mean, I think they have a lot of interesting parts, and I like what they brought in with Marcell Ozuna. He's always kind of been overshadowed by Giancarlo Stanton in Miami, but he can hit the ball. He's got some pop, a little bit of a free swinger, probably doesn't walk as much as you want, maybe strikes out a little bit too much, but that guy can play, and I think he's going to be a nice addition for this team in the middle. Tommy Pham kind of was a under-the-radar breakout stud last year. He stole 25 bags, hit 23 homers with a .306 average, 931 OPS. Like, he had a really good year. That's another guy who I think is going to be a nice player for them. And then, again, like, Paul DeJong, guy you've probably never heard of, but, like, quietly gave them 25 home runs at the shortstop position last season and was part of the reason that Aledmys Diaz became expendable. So you add those guys to Matt Carpenter, who's a proven hitter, and Yadier Molina, and I think this has the makings of a pretty good offense. And I like the pitching staff. I mean, Carlos Martinez is a legitimate top-of-the-rotation guy. Maybe he's not ideal as a ace, but if he's in your top two or three pitchers, you're not looking so bad. Luke Weaver really showed some flashes down the stretch last year. I like him quite a bit this season. And they still have Alex Reyes, who they're probably only going to limit to about 100 innings this season, but he was at one point considered the top pitching prospect in baseball. So if that guy can come in the second half of the year and just mow dudes down with his, you know, close to 100 mile an hour fastball, I really like what this team has sort of across the board. I think that the Cards, once again, despite having, you know, a lack of noticeable stars, they're going to be right there at the end of this thing.
Yeah, the Cards are somewhat Spursy, I feel like, in that regard.
For sure.
And I'm with you on Luke Weaver. Like, the sample size on him isn't huge. He's pitched, you know, over the last 2 years, he's basically pitched like 100 innings. But all of his peripheral numbers are really good. He struck out, you know, roughly 27 or 28% of batters. He's only allowing a 29% fly ball rate, and he's only given up 28.5% hard contact rate. So all the peripheral numbers on Weaver are really, really good. You know, granted, it's only in, you know, maybe half of a season's worth of innings, but definitely what you like to see. And he's a back of their rotation guy right now. So, you know, if there are some growing pains along the way, they can definitely hang with that. So I'm with you. I like the Cards this year. It sounds like we're both taking the over here.
Yep, I like the over.
All right, awesome. Let's go to the Pirates. Where this is where I think it gets ugly kind of quick. 2017, they were 75-87, 85 WRC plus, 28th, 4.36 Sierra, that was 16th. They lost two big names this offseason, Andrew McCutchen in the outfield and starting pitcher Garrett Cole. They haven't really added anyone. Most of the guys they got in those trades were prospects. So division odds plus 1,600, pennant odds plus 3,300, World Series odds plus 6,500. And the win total is at 73.5, Matt. What do we think of the Pirates?
I'm on board the Pirates. Not as true contenders, but I kind of like what they did. I mean, obviously, they had to trade away their best pitcher and arguably their best hitter, but that's kind of the life of a small market team. You know, they made a good run with those guys, but ultimately they couldn't get it done. So it was time to move on, I think, for all of them. But I still think that there are some nice pieces here. Starling Marte missed a large portion of the season last year because he got busted for PEDs, but that guy can play ball. Same goes for Gregory Polanco. He had a bit of a down year, but he is crushing in the spring. They've honestly looked really good in the spring for whatever that you know, matters to you. Polanco, Marte, Adam Frazier, Francisco Cervelli, and Jose Osuna all over a 1,000 OPS plus. So they still, I think, will have some hitting ability here. And it comes down to the pitching. The pitchers that they have talent. You know, Jameson Taillon and Tyler Glasnow have both profiled as, you know, frontline starters in the big leagues, but neither has been able to show it on sort of a consistent basis. So if either of those guys takes a step forward, I think that they're going to be a little more competitive than you think. They also have an elite back of the bullpen guy in Felipe Rivero. He emerged as sort of one of the best closers in baseball last year. So I think between, you know, all the top end talent that they have, if they can get anything from some of these other guys, and one of those, the biggest question marks on the team is Jung Ho Kang, who can't even get into the country right now. So
like, insane.
Yeah. If they can get anything from him or, you know, an Adam Frazier and Austin Meadows, I think this team will be competitive.
Yeah. There was a stretch there, like where Kang was just like auto power, like just was mashing the ball. And I really like the addition of C. Dick. I feel like no one's really talking about Dickerson. Like, I don't know, like that guy, he has a lot of top of the order home runs. Like he's got speed. Like, I feel like he's a guy that you can throw in your lineup and you can get a lot out of. I mean, they're top five right now, you know, Harrison, Dickerson, Marte, Josh Bell, Polanco. That's a pretty good top five, you know, of the order. You know, and last year they had to deal with Taillon, you know, trying to come back from cancer, which obviously he did, which is really awesome. So like him having like an off season to kind of like regroup, recover and prepare, like I think there's a chance he takes the next step. So yeah, that, you know, like I think being a Pirates fan is tough because they do this, like they're going to have to do this like once every few years where they have good players and they have to move them because they can't pay them. But the cupboard is not bare. So, you know, hopefully some brighter days ahead. 73.5 win total. What do you make of that?
I'm going to go over. I think that losing McCutchen really is not going to hurt them too much. He really had started to diminish as a player, and I think that they got out on him at the right time. Losing Cole is going to be the more significant departure, but I still think that they have enough there to overcome it. So I'm going to go with an over here.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I, you know, we mentioned this when we talked about the Giants a couple shows ago, like the McCutchen move, like just looks really nice, you know, on paper. You know, that's the name looks really nice. It's really sexy, but you know, the MVP season was long ago. Like he's not the same guy. The Cincinnati Reds, 68-94 last year, 96 WRC plus, that was 15th, 4.56 Sierra, that was 24th. They lost Zach Cozart this offseason, and they added the aforementioned Jared Hughes. Their division odds are plus 2,500. Their pennant odds, plus 100,000. And their World Series odds are plus 200,000. Their win total sits at 74, though. Matt, what do you think of the Reds?
Yeah.
Small red machine.
I think we're going to have to rename this division like the gas can division, because this is just another pitching staff that on paper looks terrible.
Awful.
I mean, Anthony Desclafani is their top guy right now. Gross. Just absolutely gross. Like, yeah, like maybe you can talk me into Luis Castillo as a potential guy since he's a strikeout machine. He struck out 98 guys in only 89.1 innings last year. Which is really nice for a starting pitcher. That's an awesome ratio. And his ERA and WHIP were pretty solid as well. So you can talk me into him, but I'm not buying a single other guy in this rotation. And then it comes down to the lineup. I love Joey Votto. Like, I might be the biggest Joey Votto fanboy on the planet. Like, the guy is just an on-base machine. Hits for power, hits for average. You can't get him out. And he's in there every single day. He played 162 games last year. So that's almost as impressive to me as any of his other batting numbers, that not only did he not get hurt, he didn't even take a day off. Like, that's just a stud. And the rest of their lineup is solid, but it's not on pace with some of these other teams in the division that are really going to be able to hit the ball. And given what their starting rotation looks like, I am not feeling too great about this team.
Yeah, Votto, by the way, playing all the games, that's underrated for fantasy, I think. He gets the full 162 instead of some of these guys that miss. But yeah, I mean, the team is not that great. You know, the Billy Hamilton trade rumors have already started. I feel like that is probably going to happen at some point, or at least they're going to dangle him. I feel like that impacts the play. Like, I'm not sold in the team. I think, you know, especially with some of these other overs that we've had, like the Reds are pretty easy under. This is probably my favorite of all of them.
Billy Hamilton sucks anyway. Like, we talk a lot about guys who are better, like, real life assets than fantasy assets. And he is the exact opposite. Like, yeah, if you draft him on your fantasy team, you're probably going to win stolen bases in your roto leagues. But the guy had an OBP of 299 last year, and that's like in line with his season or with his career numbers. Like, it's not like that was a down year for him. That's what he's going to be. Like, if I don't care if you're the fastest guy on the planet, if you're only getting on base, you know, 29.9% of the time, you're a net negative to your team, especially when they continue to bat him at the top of the lineup. So I think ultimately, last year they moved him to eighth for a while. That's in their best interest, but you know, he's a fan favorite type of guy. Like, they might move him back to the leadoff hole. So I don't know. He's a bad baseball player, Amico. Like, take him on your fantasy team, enjoy the steals, but in terms of real life, the guy stinks.
I don't know if Davis Maddock is even alive anymore, but if he hears this, he's going to be heartbroken. Built for Coors, Billy Hamilton. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, obviously, to steal bases when you're not on base. I think that's the math checks out there.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to get into some bets for the National League and some general MLB bets. But first, I just really have to pass on this message from my bookie. I mean, if you've already busted out of your bracket, which probably many of you have. I mean, even Matt, who took like the 2% Cincinnati Bearcats, is out. But you can still make money on March Madness at my bookie if you haven't signed up yet. It's not too late. Doesn't matter if you've been a player for years or if you like a team just because their colors match your favorite shoes. This particularly may appeal to some of your wives if you're listening. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. If you're sick and tired of getting the runaround and asking for a payout, MyBookie will support you. They offer the fastest payouts in the industry with absolutely no hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. And they even have in-game live betting, so you can place a bet after tip-off like I did, going plus 270 on UNC after they were down 10 at half. That did not end up well. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You just have to use promo code LANGTHEPOINTS to activate this special offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag. Matt, you know, we've gone through all the teams now in the National League. Let's just get some picks in to win the division, each division, sorry, the pennant. And if we like anyone as a World Series bet, we'll start with the NL East. What do you like?
It would take a lot, I think, for the Nationals not to win this division. But that being said, I think the Phillies right now at plus 1,100 are really enticing odds. You know, when compared to the Mets at plus 200 and the Braves at plus 800, I think that the Phillies would probably be my favorite team out of those three. And the fact that I'm getting them at really nice odds makes them a pretty enticing futures bet. You could potentially hedge if they are in the position where they might make the playoffs late in the season. So I like them, especially given the addition of Arrieta. I think this team is ready to compete this year.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. The Arrieta signing doesn't really seem to be fully priced in yet, so it seems like a good time to bet. I'm with you, obviously, that the Nats will probably win, but I'm probably not betting the division. This is the one I would say I like the least. National League West, Matt, I mean, we liked the Dodgers to win when we picked it. Are you still there, and is there a bet you like?
Yeah, I like the Dodgers at minus 220. I think if I were to bet something in this division, I would be betting the Giants under and the Giants to not make the playoffs, which I don't know if you can bet that on my bookie, but you can certainly bet on teams not making the playoffs on other sites. And I think that they're my top fade candidate in all of baseball right now.
Yeah, I think my bookie is still getting some of these props up. I mean, just before the show, they got the Cy Young and MVP stuff up. So I'm sure those kinds of props will be up there soon. I think the Diamondbacks are kind of sneaky here to win the division, plus 350. We mentioned before when we did the show, like I just really like Robbie Ray and Zach Greinke at the top. I think when you have those two guys, you're in pretty good shape. They have Paul Goldschmidt, who was an MVP candidate, who's going to be an MVP candidate, you know, every year, I feel like. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they can at least compete. The Dodgers, to me, were kind of weak when we went over that division just because, you know, they lost so many players from last year. Certainly they added a couple, but I think the Dodgers are could potentially get caught here. So I like Arizona. NL Central, which we just did. You said it sounded like you really like the Cubs, Matt. They're minus 220. Is that a bet that you're going to make, or is that just your favorite team?
Yeah, that's the one that I like here. I think that this division is the weakest. You know, I think that the Dodgers have legitimate challengers. You mentioned the Diamondbacks. I like the Rockies. And for as much as I'm down on the Giants, like it wouldn't be a huge shock if they were somewhat competitive. And the Nationals have to deal with, you know, potentially the Mets and the Phillies and certain people like the Braves. I don't see any of these teams in the Central really challenging the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs were down last year and none of these teams could contend. I don't think any of them are markedly better. I do like St. Louis, but I think them being only plus 300 kind of speaks just to their past performance and, you know, some name value with their team. The Brewers being plus 300 to me is, much more surprising. So I think that the Cubs here at only minus 220, I think that they're definitely the strongest favorite and they don't, you know, it's not like I'm paying additional for it. So, yes, I like them as a favorite bet here.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, to win the pennant, I think, is where you can get a little crafty. I know for me, not even just for me, we mentioned that we like the Mets as a potential bet here just because the 13-1 odds that you can get and the pitching is volatile. Is there anyone maybe with some tighter odds that you like as an NL pennant wager?
Yeah, so the reason we like the Mets is because I do think that in the playoffs, pitching is very important. You want the frontline starters. So even though I mentioned I like the Phillies and they are an enticing, you know, plus 5,000 here, even if they get to the playoffs, I don't know if I'd want to bet on them actually winning the pennant, given that I don't trust their pitching staff as much as some of these other teams. So I'm going back to the Cubs at plus 330. I think that they are the best team. The Dodgers and the Nationals both have better odds than them at the moment, which I think is a flaw. I'm sorry, the Nationals do not. They're plus 400. But I do think that the Cubs are the best team, and they're not being priced that way. So I like that.
I like the Nats. Maybe they're a little chalky. I think that I could see them being somewhat popular as time goes on. But I just really, again, I like the pitching, Scherzer, Strasburg up top. I think that both Trea Turner and Bryce Harper are potential MVP candidates. So I think the Nats at 4-1 is pretty decent.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
What about the World Series? I'm assuming you're just going to be rolling some of these same teams.
Yeah, so I think we both agree that the Astros are the best team. I would, you know, even if we include the National League teams, I'm still riding the Astros as the best in baseball. So what I might do is bet some of the actual possible combinations, which you could do on my bookie. If you bet Astros versus Cubs, you can get plus 1,100. If you bet Astros versus Nationals, you can get plus 1,300. So I might bet both of those combinations, hope that one of the two teams from the NL get there to face the Astros and look to cash a nice ticket.
Well, yeah, I really like that, Matt. That's smart. I think that's sharp. I have nothing I could add to that. I feel like that's just sound betting. You know, I obviously am still looking at Mets and Nats here, 28-1 and 8-1 respectively. But I like that, being able to get some action on the Astros as well as part of that wager.
Thank you, sir.
Now, the odds are posted for National League MVP and Cy Young. Matt, we'll start with MVP. Who do you like out of the National League?
For NL MVP, I'm going to stick with my Cubs theme. Chris Bryant, obviously the favorite for the Cubs at plus 330, but I don't think he's the best player on the team. I think that's Anthony Rizzo, and I'm hoping that this is the year that people start to recognize that. So I like him at plus 1,200. Those odds feel a little long to me, you know, especially compared to a guy like Goldschmidt at plus 650 or Votto on plus 550. I don't understand the Votto odds at all. As much as I love that dude, he's going to be playing for an awful team. It just seems extremely unlikely for him to win that award. So I'd much rather get the guy playing for the team that I expect to be the best in the National League, and that's Anthony Rizzo. If you want a little bit of a longer shot, actually, I'm going to leave it for you because I see on your sheet here that you've got him written down already. So,
yeah, I mean, I like Trea Turner at plus 5,500. I mean, 55-1 versus Bryce Harper 2.5-1. Like, that just seems really unbalanced to me. I think that the Nationals have a shot to be one of the best teams in baseball. I think we agree that that's kind of like a prerequisite to have a player win this award, unless you just have a completely crazy season. And, you know, Turner is not your prototypical MVP candidate because he's not going to hit, you know, 30 or 40 home runs, but he could definitely go like 20-60 or 25-55, something like that. And that's still a really impressive season. I mean, this is a guy that has just routinely, you know, swiped bags at an elite rate. You know, he's their table setter. And I think that, you know, if Bryce Harper especially were to miss any kind of time this year, you know, Turner could definitely swipe in, no pun intended, and get the MVP. I just think 55-1 is just way too long. Like, you look at some totally of these other guys. Agree. Some of these other guys that are ahead of him are crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's in the same class as Wilson Contreras. Like, and he's just so much of a better player than these guys that are around him. Rhys Hoskins is plus 4,000, and he's played like 50 big league games, if that. So I totally agree with that. And one more guy I want to throw in the ring. If you like the Rockies to overperform a bit, Charlie Blackmon, plus 2,000. Guy is just a DFS machine. I'm hoping to target him in our upcoming fantasy draft, Anthony. That's my pick. Don't tell anybody. That's who I want. He's like just somebody that you can count on every single time he's at Coors to deliver something. Like, whether it's an extra base hit, a stolen base, like, the guy is just all over the box score. And I think getting him at plus 2,000 compared to his teammate Nolan Arenado at plus 400, like, to me, that's the better value of the two.
Yeah, I definitely like that. I, it's like, I feel like a lot of these bets, like, you know, the sharp play, and, you know, I have not, I'm sure they at some one day, I'm sure there will be an Action Network article on this, but I feel like you just, if you take a guy from the same team as one of the favorites, I feel like there's just always value there.
Yeah, I like that call. I mean, again, like you said, there's no reason that Trey Turner should be that much lower on this list than Bryce Harper.
Yep. What about the Cy Young? I feel like this is maybe a little tighter. Who do you like there?
It's tough. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is the favorite at +120, and I think that is how it should be. The guy is still the best pitcher in the league when he's healthy, and the fact that Scherzer won the award last year, I think, will only push, you know, public sentiment more in his favor. So I think that for the most part, it would take something pretty shocking to knock one of those two guys off of the top of the podium. So I think that my money would be on Kershaw, but I've touted this guy in particular and the Phillies in general for the whole podcast. So I'm going to Aaron Nola at +3,300 as my long shot pick. Elite stuff, you know, in the future, we might think of this guy up there with Kershaw and Scherzer. He's obviously not there yet, but to get him at lower odds than somebody like Jose Quintana to me is pretty crazy, and in the same consideration as guys like Gio Gonzalez and John Gray. So I think he's just much more talented than those guys. I think the Phillies are going to overperform. Give me Nola at +3,300, although in reality, give me Kershaw +120.
Yeah, I mean, flipping Chase Anderson is +4,000. Like, that's like, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I think between Scherzer and Kershaw, I'd probably just go Scherzer for the slight increase in odds. You know, Max has just been so consistent and so consistently on the field, where I feel like Kershaw's had some issues with the injuries. But you obviously can't go wrong with either of those guys. If I'm going a little bit deeper on the list, I like Madison Bumgarner at +1,200. Not a super long shot, obviously, but I mean, 12-1 on a guy that I think, you know, as early as 2 years ago, still had elite stuff. You know, last year he was banged up. We didn't really see, I think, the same mad bum. But I think this year, you know, we know that he has a history of giving you like the 200 inning seasons and having the elite strikeout numbers. I think that if he does that, he can definitely be in the mix.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that Syndergaard will also garner some public sentiment at +1,000. He's looked like his old dominant self in the spring. So I think those two as sort of, you know, mid-range picks are popular. And you'll never hear an argument from me on Scherzer. I say it to you all the time, but when he is on, he's the best pitcher in baseball. Like, he has more, you know, 14 strikeout games than any pitcher I can remember. And I, you know, it's honestly awesome when he's in that bulldog mode and he's cursing at everybody on the mound and just striking out every guy on the other team. So he's sort of a throwback to a different era. And, you know, I love that dude.
Yeah, no question. He's a guy that I think makes baseball fun. There's a bunch of like different, you know, league wide props posted at my bookie. I definitely recommend that you guys check those out. But, you know, perhaps the most popular will be the bet for who will lead the league in home runs. Giancarlo Stanton is the favorite right now at +250. Matt, would you say that he is the best bet to lead the league in home runs, or is there someone else maybe in the field that you like?
I am fading Giancarlo, and the big reason why is his health. I mean, he hasn't played a whole ton in most years, so I'm off of him, especially as the betting favorite. I know that if he stays healthy, he has a good chance to do it, but count me out on paying the +250 for him. This is a tough one. I mean, it's very random. You never know who is going to sort of, you know, have the explosion type of year. But give me Charlie Blackman at 80-1. Why not?
Playing in Coors. It's a Charlie Blackman show. I love it.
Playing in Coors. I mean, he's gotten to the mid to high 30s, I want to say, the past couple of years. Maybe he can get that to 40, and maybe it'll be a down year for home run hitting. I don't know. I think at 80-1, those are the most enticing odds to me.
Yeah, you can definitely do worse than a guy that is, you know, plays in Coors Field, I feel like.
Yeah.
A little tighter for me at 8-1. I like Joey Gallo. We talked when we did the American League pods. Like, know, Gallo's going to hit a little higher in the lineup this year, so he'll get some more at-bats. His, like, overall peripheral numbers are just ridiculous. I mean, you know, he's only had, you know, basically a full season's worth of at-bats, 582, for his career. But he's on like a 70 home run pace over the course of like a full season. Like, obviously he's not going to do that, but I feel like his like overwhelming power is not priced in as much as it is for like a Judge or a Stanton. Like, if this guy gives you 150 games and 500 ABs, like he's going to be right there, I think, yeah, unless 100%. He just like strikes out way too much.
Totally agree with you. I love that call.
Let's get to my bookie picks of the week. Matt, is there any bet that you like that you'll be making this week?
So I'm sure there will be some tournament games that I will have some wagers on, but it's a little early. We're recording this much earlier than we normally do, thanks to the nor'easter going on right now. You don't have school, and so we're knocking this thing out a little early. Haven't had a ton of time to do research and see the line moves. So, and that's a big part, the line movement, of how I make a lot of my bets. So I don't have anything on the radar yet in terms of that department. So one thing I want to touch on is going to one of these regular season props that we kind of glanced over. I like DJ LeMahieu over 175.5 hits this year. He's been well over that mark in two straight years. He had 189 last year and 192 2 years ago, and that was only playing in 146 games. He led the league with a .348 batting average that year. So, I think this guy is a hitting machine playing for an offense that I expect to be better this year than they were last year. So I think this guy is definitely going over 175 hits as long as he stays healthy. And that's obviously a big part of these bets, is that health is a factor. So those lines are probably dragged down a bit by having to, you know, price in injury. But I still think that, you know, barring him missing a whole slew of time, over 175.5 is a lock.
DJLM. I mean, you can't go wrong, right? Yeah, I'm similar with you. I'm looking at these props, and I know you said that you're fading Giancarlo, but
I'm fading the Yankees just because I hate just because that's me.
That's fine. I really like the over on 40.5 home runs for Stanton. You got to lay -145, but I think it's totally worth it. If you look at his career, and you know, he has such a much bigger sample size than someone like Judge. He's, you know, 3,577 ABs. Over eight seasons. So we have a really good sample size to look at with him. If we just use his career fly ball rate of 40.4% and his career home run per fly ball rate, 26.9%, Stanton only needs 378 at-bats with average luck to get to 41 home runs. That's roughly 104 games if you just use his career numbers there. I feel like the injury risk is really well built in here. Obviously, if he stays healthy, he's probably going to smash this. So I feel like if Stanton, you know, doesn't get there, it's going to take some really bad luck. Like, either the ball is just not going to be going out for whatever reason, which seems unlikely in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, or he misses, you know, basically 60 games, a third of the season, whatever. So I think he gets to that number, 40.5.
I will say, how many times in his career do you think he's gone over 40.5 home runs?
He's probably only done it like once or twice because he hasn't played all the games for a lot of his seasons, right?
Just once. I would have thought it would have been more than that. I mean, he had 500 at-bats in 2012 and 500 at-bats in 2013, 638 at-bats in 2014. And obviously he's getting a big park upgrade, which should help him in the power department. But last year, the only time in his career he's been over that number. So not trying to rain on your parade, but... as the show's token Yankee hater, there's that. Suck on that.
Well, hey, you need that. You know, we can't just bet favorites all the time. We gotta spread the wealth.
Right. That being said, I'd never bet the under on this bet. You know what I'm saying? but I will root against it.
Well, I don't know. If I end up with him on my fantasy team, I'm gonna really be doubling down here. I'm pretty excited for that. But that's going to do it for this edition of Laying the Points, brought to you by MyBookie. Please be sure to subscribe to, rate, and review the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And get that deposit bonus on MyBookie. Use promo code LANGTHEPOINTS. For Matt LaMarca, I'm Anthony Amico. May the odds be ever in your favor.